Shalom, everybody. Wanted to talk about the Birchas HaShachar today. In previous Chaburis, we had an opportunity to discuss Asher Yotzar, Elokai Neshama Shenasatabi, the Birchas HaTorah. Today, I want to turn to what's generally known as the Birchas HaShachar, referring to the smaller brachos, if you will. A list of series of 14 brachos, starting from Asher Nosan Lasech Vivina Lavchin Ben Yom Uvein Laila, all the way through Hamavir Sheina Meinai Ustamame Afapai. And as we'll see later, that's really a bracha that is on the longer side that continues to Viratzim Ufanecha Shetar Galena Besarasecha and ends Hagomel Chasadim Tavim Lamo Yisrael. So I wanted to just begin with some words of introduction that. What emerges from studying the various sources in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch on these brachos is that ultimately there are three types, if you will, of brachos here. The first type, which is based on a Gemara at the end of Masechta Brachos, are brachos in which we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recognize various activities that we encounter on a daily level. Various acts of kindness that we're able to use throughout our lives that we thank Hashem for every single day. Gemara Bracha Samach HaMabes. We'll come back to that in a moment, a little while. But that includes the majority of the brachos, with the exception of the Shelo Asani series, the three brachos, Shelo Asani Goy, Shelo Asani Evet, Shelo Asani Isha. Bracha that a woman substitutes for Shelo Asani Isha, She'asani Kirtzono. So besides that, refer to Asher Nosan Lasech Vivina, Pokeach Ivrim, so on and so forth. The second group are what can be called the Birchot HaZehut, if you will, the Brachas of Identity, which we just excluded from the first group a moment ago, the series of Shelo Asanis, or She'asani, which basically praise Hashem for who we are. Or who we're not. More about that later. The third group, which actually adds one bracha to each of the two groups, are, and let me back up for a second, the brachas of Shelo Asani are actually based on another Talmudic passage, not in brachos, but in menachos, also highlighting the fact that they're not exactly part of the same series. So, as we mentioned, the third group is one addition to each of those two sets. The bracha of Hanosein LaYoev Koach was added in the period of the Gaonim. It was actually not without the debate. So there were those who debated whether we should say that bracha at all, because who says we have the Koach to add a new bracha post-Talmud? But the bottom line is that it has been accepted by Klal Yisrael that this bracha is also said, and that is a bracha, presumably, that is added on to the first group. In other words, the brachos to thank Hashem for particular gifts that we recognize every morning. In this case, the gift of ability to function and not to just be tired all the time. And Hosein Layev Koach gives strength to the tired. And as we briefly mentioned earlier, in the brachos of identity, so the Gemara Menachos only mentions the three brachos that are recited by a man, Shelo Asani Goy, Shelo Asani Evet, Shelo Asani Isha. Intuitively, and that's what the Rishonim assume, that a woman also says two out of three of those brachos, the ones that are relevant to her, Shelo Asani Goy, Shelo Asani Evet. But the Gemara does not discuss the bracha of She'asani Kirtzono. That too was added post-Talmud. So again, three groups, brachos of thanking Hashem for the gifts that we receive, ultimately all the time, but we specifically highlight them in the morning, brachos of identity, and one bracha in the third group, one bracha each that was added onto the first two groups. Hosein Layev Koach and She'asani Kirtzono for a woman. So what I'd like to do is now analyze each group in and of itself with some short comments, some longer comments, and as the time permits, we'll see if this will be one chabura or two chaburas. Interesting point that is raised by the Aruch HaShulchan that you get the impression from the fact that there are two separate Gemaros, one about the brachos thanking Hashem for the gifts He has given us, and one about identity, that they would be said separately. So we would have Asher Nosan Lasech Vivina Lavchi Yom Ve'Laila, skipping to Pokeach Ivrim, and then on to Malbush Arumim and so on and so forth. And then the Shalosh Sanis would be said either after or before. And pretty much all the Sidurim nowadays, actually Sfardim and Ashkenazim actually have somewhat different Noschaot here and different arrangements. But at least the Ashkenazi Siddur has Asher Nason Sech Rivina as the first bracha, and then we switch to the brachos of identity, and then we go back to Pokeach Yibim. So that the Aruch HaShulchan attempts an approach as to why we seem to be merging these two groups together, and kind of sticking the brachos of identity in the middle. So I don't want to go into that now, but just to note that they seem to be at least Talmudically somewhat distinct, but somewhat of a link between them. So, getting back to the brachos dealing with the daily gifts. So, the Gemara in the brachos says as follows. When a person hears the sound of the rooster, presumably, I guess, person waking up at the crack of dawn when the roosters start making noise. In Ramat Beit Shemesh, so across the street from us, there was someone who had a rooster. So, some of the neighbors wanted to kill the rooster. So, a deadly shear here. Because they would wake them up early in the morning. But in the past, you know, no one wanted to kill the rooster because they were getting up pretty much everyone at dawn, and they would go to sleep much earlier because they would go to sleep at nightfall. So when you hear the rooster and you are able to tell the difference between day and night, so we say, Asher nasan ha-sechvi vina l'havchem b'yom v'layla. More about that later as to what exactly the word sechvi means. In other words, according to the Gemara, you're saying these brachos, if you will, in real time. When you encounter the gift, you praise Hashem for the gift. When a person opens his eyes, Gemara's language is rubs his hands on his eyes, presumably after Netzil Sidayim, to remove the dirt on the eyes, the gathered mucus, etc., to cause himself to wake up. So you say, Pokeach Ivrim, open the eyes that are blind. When a person gets dressed, Malbush Arumim. When a person stretches his limbs, Matir Asurim, literally unties the tide. When a person sits up, Zokiv Kefufim, who allows us to stand up. The ones who are bent are able to stand straight. When a person puts his feet on the ground, even before walking, Roka Oretz Alamayim, that we have a solid ground to put our feet on. But what a bracha that we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We take for granted that, you know, there's such a thing called earth, terra firma. We could actually walk and we don't have to swim all the time. We know initially in the first creation, right, the water covered the land. It was only on day three that the land appeared. So here we thank Hashem every single day for the fact that we have land. When a person puts on his shoes or her shoes, so he or she says, Sha'asali kol sarki. More about that later as to why we say such a bracha that doesn't seem to have to do directly with shoes. Literally, it's who gave me all my needs. When a person walks, Mechem Mitzadei Gover, literally, who prepares the steps of man. When the other two brachos are more relevant to men, and typically I think women say that as well, but typically a man's dress would include, he used to wear robes then, would include some kind of belt. So when the person would put the belt on, the man would put the belt on, he says, Ozer Yisrael Begvura, literally, who girds Yisrael, or wraps Yisrael, if you will, with might. The term ozer usually refers to some kind of gartel, if you will, some kind of sash. When the person would put a turban on, if you will, the head wrap, so then they would say, Oter Yisrael B'sifara, who wraps the Jewish people with splendor. And Hanosin Yavkoach, as I mentioned, is a post-Talmudic bracha, so it wasn't directly mentioned there in terms of being associated with any specific activity. Interestingly, the Rambam seems to advocate that Talmudic approach, that really you should say the brachos in the order of when you encounter them. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the Rambam holds this way, I think other Rishonim certainly do, that if for whatever reason you're not doing one of these activities, or you're not encountering one of these events, then you wouldn't say the bracha. So if you're sitting in a place where there's no roosters, or you don't encounter light day and night, you're in a dark house, so you wouldn't say, Asher nasan sechi vina l'havchem yom v'layla. And someone who nebuch is blind would not say, Pekech Ivrim. Someone, let's say, who slept in their clothes and is not changing when they get up, wouldn't say, Malbush Arumim, and so on and so forth. According to this, let's say, on Yom Kippurim, when we don't wear at least leather shoes, so one wouldn't say, Shasali called Sarki until the night when you put the shoes, after Yom Kippur, when you put the shoes back on, the leather shoes. And so on and so forth, that if you didn't encounter the particular gift, then you wouldn't praise Hashem for it. The generally accepted view, though, is not like that. The generally accepted view is that these brachos were what's called, I think the Rosh says this, Rabbeinu Asher, al Seder HaOlam, the normal course of events of the world. And therefore, even someone who either in a particular circumstance or never is able to get that gift, like a blind person never perceives a Pokeh Yivrim, if you will, never has the gift of sight, at least in this world. Or occasionally, if like on Yom Kippur, when you're not wearing leather shoes. So we hold that you do say the brachos because this was said in general. In general, people and the majority of people and in most circumstances do get these gifts. So that helps explain the more common custom that I think pretty much is outside of maybe Yechidei Skula, a certain select group of individuals. We don't really order these brachos anymore in the, connected to the events. We finish getting dressed and we're ready to go to shul. It's a daven at home. And then we say all the brachos, one after the other. So even though the Rambam justifies that practice as well, even though he holds it's not ideal, because at least you got the gift. There's no time limit, if you will, in terms of when you say the brachos. But there's no time limit, there's a machlokus, whether you have to say this during Zman Tefillah till 4 hours, maybe till Chatzos, maybe it's all day. But there's no like time limit that has to be done right after you receive the activity, even though the Rambam views it as ideal. But if you go with the approach that you don't even have to get the gift in order to say the bracha, because they're all Seder Olam, so you could more readily justify why it is that we moved away from the Talmudic practice of saying it in the context of when you received the gift. Nonetheless, it still is curious that the Minhag developed in somewhat of a different way from the original Talmudic passage, but according to the, what we're describing, what we do would be acceptable, but not ideal. So I think the Rishonim explained that when we're getting up, so our hands and our say clean, and say wash till sidayim, and so it's more convenient, if you will, to more, if you will, in our situation, I guess you could say halachically preferable to say it all together when you're all ready and all dressed. Still a little curious, though, that the Gemara did have it as at each event, and we no longer do that. So wanted to just give one idea concerning all of these brachos together, where we're thanking Hashem for basic gifts, if you will, sight, the fact that our limbs move, the fact that we could stand up straight and walk. And then to get through the commentaries and the handout I gave, the Otar Tfilas that I posted on the group, to be able to see a little more about some of these individual brachos. So I saw this a very long time ago. I didn't get a chance to review this round. I believe I noticed this in a siddur that's called the Siddur Agro. It's a collection of commentaries, one commentary of which was written based on the Vilna Gaon's writings, and some was written by his son, and another commentary called Siach Yitzchak, I think by Rav Meltzin. So in one of those commentaries, I forget which ones, I can't quite say B'Shem Omro, but it's in the Siddur Agro. So he quotes regarding these brachos, the Chovos Levavos. Chovos Levavos is written by one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Bachi and Pakuda, who was a very early Rishon, a transitional figure between the period of the Gaon and the period of the Rishonim. And he wrote an important philosophy, Musar, theological work called the Chovos Levavos, or the duties of the heart. And in there, he has a very important development of something called the Shara Bechina, if you will, or of analyzing all of the great wonders of creation, the Shar Avas Hashem, loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one of those Sharim, I forget which one, he develops the theme of Hakaras HaTov, that a major, major theme of Avodas Hashem, of the service of God, is to recognize all that Hashem has done for us, to contemplate that and think about it. And developing this theme, he gives the following mashal, that says, I'll modernize the mashal a bit. Say there were two brothers in a car. And Nebuch, there was a father was driving. It was a car accident. The father, fortunately, was killed. And the two brothers survive. And So the mother was also in the car, and both parents perish. I guess it's just, should all be healthy. It's just a mashal. And the two boys survive. So one is 16 years old, and one is a baby. So they're taken into foster care because the parents are not alive anymore. And they're looking for people to adopt them. So, sure enough, Heidi, like that, one family adopts both children. So, the brothers are very happy. At least the older one is happy. The baby didn't really know one way or the other. And they're brought up by this foster family. And then the older brother, the adoptive family, continues to support the older brother through high school, college, Shalom for men, if it was a girl, Shalom for women, and see them through their marriage, and they found their own family. A baby, of course, a lot more things had to be done. They had to buy diapers for him, baby formula, and so on and so forth. So send preschool, elementary school, high school, college, Shalom for men, Shalom for women, depending a boy or girl, he's the muscle of a boy, but the same could be true for a girl. And they marry them off, and great, found their own family. So the Rebbeinu Bechaya raises the following fascinating conundrum, if you will, in terms of the way the world works. Who should have more hakaras hatov? Who should have more gratitude? So when I taught this in the past, so some of the students said that the older one should have more gratitude because it's harder to adopt an older. It's harder to find an adoptive family for an older one because people want cute babies, not teenagers who already have formed their personality and sometimes could be more difficult, or at least they can't start from scratch with them. Okay, but the Rebbeinu Bechaya doesn't go that route in terms of the actual transition of adoption. Maybe things were different then. But in terms of what did they get? So the teenager got a lot less because he was already 16. Let's say by the time he's married, he's 24. So he got basically 8 years of care till he moved on to his own life. And the baby, let's say, also got married at 24. So they received 24 years of care. And, including many sleepless nights with the baby on behalf of their adoptive parents and so on and so forth. And many, many more years of care, of time, investment, love, effort, and so on and so forth. But nonetheless, even though, like, if we could say fundamentally, that's the way things should be. But usually it's not that way. Usually what we'll find is that the teenager will have greater gratitude toward the adoptive parents than the baby. And why is that? So Rebbeinu Bechaya explains, because the teenager, at the time he was adopted, knew, he was intelligent enough to realize that Nebuch, his parents, were killed in that car accident. And you can't take it for granted someone's going to take care of them. And nonetheless, someone did. So he's eternally grateful that they took him in and they took care of him. The baby, on the other hand, even though quantitatively and qualitatively they received much more, but the baby wasn't intelligent enough to really realize that these are not his biological parents. And they don't really have to take care of him. And nonetheless, out of the goodness of the heart, they decided to take care of him. And when that finally kicks in, when he gets older, whatever, 8, 9, 10, 13, 14, whatever, 18, whatever it is, that finally realizes that, a great act of love and care was engaged in by these two selfish individuals. So Rebbeinu Bechaya says it's almost too late because they were receiving it before the intellect kicked in. And they got used to it. They got used to it for so long. And when the intellect kicks in, it's hard to like do a reset and say, oh, I really have to have so much gratitude because they didn't have to do this. But they took it for granted because they're receiving it for so long. So it's hard to burst that bubble of what you're used to. It says Rebbeinu Bechaya, in our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are all like the baby. Because Hashem is doing and doing and doing and doing for us. Presumably the Neshama and Shamayim has Hakaras HaTov. That's what the Musa works, the Kabbalistic works. There's a famous line from the Ramchal. They say that the Neshama, before it goes down to this world, receives Nama de Kisufa, like bread of embarrassment. It receives divine radiance, divine light, the ability to exist. And it's fully cognizant. The Neshama has an intellect even more than we're able to express when it's clothed in a body. So So it recognizes that Hashem owes the neshama nothing. And it's still giving. So it's like a bread of embarrassment, like the poor man getting a handout. Once the neshama goes down to the body, and then we begin to think with our physical brain, and we're not really in tune with our neshama. So every man, woman, and child, it's a somewhat of a redundant statement, but except for Adam and Chava, they're born as babies. That means they're born without sufficient intellect to recognize that Hashem is constantly giving them and giving them and giving them and giving them the gift of sight and the gift of digestion and the gift of hearing and of smell and of, under most circumstances, of loving parents who take care of them. These are all gifts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the baby doesn't realize that because they're not intelligent enough. Finally, when they get a little older and they finally recognize that the parents are doing it for them, and I'm in the mashal, I should be in the nimshal. The baby grows older and finally realizes that ultimately even the parents are just agents from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give them. So it's almost too late because they're so used to receiving. So they don't really recognize that it's Hashem Yisbarach who's doing that, even when they didn't have the intellect for them to realize. So what do we have to do in order to be able to have a karas hatov to Hashem? So we have to burst that bubble of being used to things. So that's what I heard from my Rebbe of Goldwith. I think I've quoted this before in other shiurim. From the name of Rabbeinu Yonah, that hergel mevi lidei shikha. That when you're used to something, you forget about it. So we're used to all these gifts that Hashem has given us, the gift of sight, the gift of walking, the gift of digestion, the gift of happiness, the gift of the ability to have emotions, the ability to laugh, to cry, to sing, to dance, to get angry at someone. I can't call that a gift, but the gift of being able to overcome that anger, the gift to have friends, to be able to learn his Torah, to be able to perform his mitzvot, to be able to gain eternity. These are all things that we take for granted. So what we have to do, and this is what our holy Chachamim ordained every day, and here's where the commentary on the Siddur Agro, I think it might be the Siach Yitzchak, quotes this for Chovitz Levavis and says that's exactly what these brachos, not discussing the brachos of identity now, but the brachos of Hashanos Masech Vivina and Pokeach Ivrim and Ma'u Sharumim are meant to awaken within us. Because just to take a look for a moment, if we turn to the third page of what we posted, which is page 124 here. So if you look at the top in the Eitz Yosef, right-hand column, Pokeach Ivrim, Shenemar Hashem Pokeach Ivrim, Al Shem, based on the fact, Shebishas HaShena, Hoya Ki Iver Beinayim Sguros. He was like a blind man, because the eyes are closed at night, you can't see, even if someone sleeps with their eyes open, but they still can't see, because the body's not plugging into the eye nerves, the optical nerves. Even though he wasn't blind, he went to sleep. This is a word that's just a little rubbed out here, man. I think it's matzanu. Matzanu v'adam chava shenema v'tipakach ne'ene shneem alf bishlehi v'sum b'tchila. You see, there's an idea of opening eyes, even when you're not blind, as it says concerning Adam and Chava, that their eyes were open, so to speak, and they knew that they needed clothing. El chidish ro dvarma. That's some kind of new idea, so that's also called opening the eyes of the blind. So what's the chidish of the morning? That even though you were able to see the day before, the evening before you went to sleep, but once you sleep, you can't see. So now when you can see again, so that's as if you were blind. That's what the Eitz Yosef quotes here. The same from Malbush Arumim. When you're getting dressed, so even though you wore clothes yesterday too, but at night you change pajamas. Now you're wearing the day clothes again, so it's time to thank Kodesh Baruch Hu for that. Perhaps we could take that same idea mentioned by the Eitz Yosef, but just put it in a different way. The commonality being that we're not thanking Hashem for miraculously opening up the eyes of the blind. Sometimes it does happen. Naturally, supernaturally, it's all Kodesh Baruch Hu. But here we're talking about ourselves, as you see from the Gemara in Brachos, that we're saying this when we open our eyes and whatever, rub our eyes. So it's us. We are the blind people. So according to the Eitz Yosef, because it's referring to night, transition from night to day. But perhaps we could suggest the following, that even when we see, we have to realize that fundamentally we have nothing. Fundamentally, we shouldn't be seeing. Fundamentally, we shouldn't be walking. And it's only because of Hashem's kindness that we're able to. And if you put it together with the famous statement of Chazal that we say in the Birchas Kriyat Shema, that Hashem is mechadesh b'tuvo b'chol yom tov ma'aseh b'rishit, that Hashem renews the creation every single day. So that means, quite literally, we're blind and we see, we're blind and we see, we're blind and we see. Every second Hashem is allowing the power of sight to exist within us. So we use the opportunity when we wake up in the morning and we're able to, oh, I could see, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But ultimately, this is a bracha that should apply 24/7 because Hashem is always giving us the gift of sight for those who see. And the same thing in Malbush HaRumim. The default is you shouldn't be able to have the funds to have anything to be able, or the plants or whatever it is, any part of the Bria that's able to give you clothing. Same with stretching the muscles in terms of Matar Surim or the gift of being able to stand up straight, so give kefufim and so on and so forth. The default is nothing. Ain't no mulvad, it's only a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem created people, but it's only because he constantly gives to them that their bodily function works and their environment is able to be one in which they could properly function in. So that's a very deep idea of Rabbeinu Bechaye, how these brachas are meant to transform ourselves from the baby to the teenager. That we are always receiving Hashem's kindness from youth, and therefore we take it for granted. But these brachas are meant to remind us, don't take it for granted. Now that you're intelligent and you're saying the brachas, baby doesn't say these brachas. Now that you're intelligent saying these brachas, recognize that these are things that should not be taken for granted because they're constant divine gifts. And that, of course, creates a much more cheerful disposition during the day to recognize that even those with hardships, that there's so much they have to be appreciative for. Once read a book, my wife was getting involved in a whole series of books related to helping out our artistic son, Shmuel. So one of the books is called Happiness is a Choice. Yes, a very Jewish concept. And one of the ways in which we choose happiness is by being very, very grateful for all the gifts Hashem has given us. So that's a little general insight in terms of these brachos. Just a little more specifically, just highlighting some of the other brachos here. So we have backing up a bit on Asher Nasan Asech Vivina La'avchem Yom Ve'Layla, going back to page 1, which is labeled as page 122. So we take a look, just to spread the wealth. We'll take a look at the Iyun Tefila now. Asher Nasan Asech Vivina. So who's the Sechvi? So of course, as kids, we're usually taught that the Sechvi is a rooster. So let's see, because it's not so simple. Kasav Harash Bebrachas Perek Tes Simchav Gimel. Halev Nikra Sechvi. The heart is called a Sechvi. It's a very fancy word. Easier way is to say Lev. The Lashon HaMikra, in the language of the Tanakh, Dichsiv, Pasuk in Iyov, Mi Nasan La Sechvi Vina. Who has given the heart wisdom? So, I guess we would associate it as mind. Right? In antiquity, the heart was associated as a seat of intellect. Getting involved now in the Torah Mada topic, about whether that was like a conceptual point, that I was actually a biologically held truth, which is no longer accepted by current science. But either way, we would say lev, if you will, mind. Who has given the mind understanding? So the simple reading of Iyov is that it's going on the person, not on a rooster. So when we say Asher Nasan La'asech Vivina, Lavchim Yom Alayla, we're saying that he has given us, meaning that we, the human beings, the ability to discern between day and night. Rush continues. V'alei v'hu ha-meivin, v'al-yidei ha-bina adam ha-vchin b'yom v'layla, is able to discern between day and night. V'pnei she'atarnagol meivin zeh, since the rooster understands that, gam kein, uva'arvia koron le'tarnagol sechvi, apparently in Arabia, I don't know if this is an Arabic word nowadays, or in ancient Arabia, it happens to be called sechvi, iskina b'rachazo, lomar v'shav shmias kol ha-tarnagol. As the Rosh says, that the Gemara says explicitly that when you hear the rooster crow, so then you cock-a-doodle-do, so then you, Israeli rooster say kukuriku, when you everything different. Yeah. It's a Jewish rooster, so you have to make a different sound. So it was a joke. So the roosters when they sound, the Gemara says that's when you say Hashem Nasan Sechvi. So at first glance, it sounds like we're thanking Hashem for the rooster's intelligence. So the Rosh says, no, we're thanking Hashem for our intelligence. But since a rooster is also called Sechvi in Arabia, So therefore, we use that opportunity to thank Hashem for our intelligence. That's what the Rosh continues. Amiyo afil lo shama kol ha-tarnagol. Even if you didn't hear the sound of the rooster, yochel avarich brachaso. Shein el hodol amokam shenasalon bina. That even if you go with the approach we said earlier of the Rambam, that it's only said when you receive that particular gift, but according to the Rosh, you did receive that gift, because ultimately the ultimate sechvi is us, our understanding, v'avana. U'bor lanu kol tzorkenu, da'afim yoshin adam v'vayi sofel, yavchin v'yasayom ade kol etarnagol. And even if you're in a dark house, you're still able to see to appreciate the day through the voice of the tarnagol. So that's a very interesting idea, that at least when I was a kid, I always thought the sechvi meant rooster. And some commentaries do say that, but the Rosh says that primarily it really means intellect. And that's something that, first and foremost, and very appropriately, is the very first thing we thank Hashem for in the morning. I think earlier, the bracha l'kai neshama shenasata b'yot neshama. But the ability to think, which ultimately is rooted in the soul, but also connected in the physical intellect, the ability to be able to use our brains to think about the world, to be able to plan for our lives, both our spiritual lives, our physical lives, our relationship lives, is certainly something that we have to very humbly thank our Creator for. I once took some of my children to the Biblical Zoo. So one of the exhibits there, kids usually like to see monkeys. So I saw that there was a mama monkey, and there was two children monkeys. Let's just make it exciting. Let's assume one was a boy, one was a girl. And I was looking at, basically a typical family. Because the mama monkey was seemingly, preparing some food or something. I don't know. She was sticking some stick into a honey pot to try to eat. Or maybe get ready for her kids. I don't know. And the let's call it the boy and the girl monkey were, doing monkey business. So they were climbing on various trees and smacking each other up, and one hit the other one and then ran away to the top of the tree, and then the other one started crying to mommy, and then mommy basically first said, like, leave me alone, I'm too busy with cooking dinner over here. And then it happened again, and then let's call it the girl, usually the boys smack the girls more. Okay, so the girl went to the mommy and said, help, help, help. And then the mommy finally goes jumping around to the boy and smacks him up a bit, to put him in his place. I was looking at what sometimes reminded me of my own family in terms of, the kids misbehaving when they were younger, smack them. And then I realized that, this could have been us. But we have a lot of commonality with the apes, right? The science books say, 97% genetic similarity. It doesn't necessarily mean an evolutionary way we came from them. There's genetic similarity because we look the same, minus some of the hair, but we stand up straight. What really defines the difference between the apes and people? The fact that Hashem gave us intellect, which ultimately is rooted in the soul and interfaces with the physical intellect. So what a schus that we're able to stare ourselves in the mirror and realize that we could have been an ape, and we could have had such limited intellect that was just geared toward eating honey and smacking up the kids when they misbehave. Human beings are blessed with intellect. Unfortunately, many human beings don't really use that intellect for a higher order. They just use it in a more physical way, except with more sophistication, to basically feed themselves and have family and then move on. But people who know the truth make sure to use the intellect to act in a godlike way. Torah Avodah Gimel Chasadim, Mitzvahs Ben Lamokum, Ben Lachavero, to make the world a better place. It's true for non-Jews too, many of whom soar to the occasion to become true human beings, to use their intellect properly. So this is something we have certainly appropriate to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gift of intellect, and that's the first thing we do. Okay, moving along to just a few other quick highlights in terms of some of the individual brachas. So I just wanted to mention a comment. This is on page 4, which is labeled Samach Gimel, on the bracha of She'asali Kol Tzarki. So here we have in the Yetzi Yosef, which is the first full paragraph, if you will, after the half paragraph up top. It begins Shasli Kol Tzarki, again, the right hand side. Bracha zo niskana litain shevach l'Hashem Yisbarach. This bracha was ordained to give praise to Hashem. Al shenasan lo min alayim, or min alim. Again, he's getting that from the Gemara that says that when you put on your shoes, you say the bracha of Shasli Kol Tzarki. How is that related to doing all my needs, or giving me all my needs? Mipnei, because kishenoel min olav yochal aleches lasat kol tzarko. Because without shoes, you can't really walk. You can't walk efficiently. You can't get to too many places. A lot of rocks on the ground. Certainly in antiquity. And even nowadays, you know, with shoes, you're able to walk much more confidently. So once you have the shoes on, now you're able to take care of yourself. To work for a living, to buy things in the store, and so on and so forth, and to do everything that you need. So the shoes are not necessarily the everything, but they're the ability for you to be able to do everything. Mashen can be yachiv as opposed to someone who is barefoot. It's always troubled me because Yosli called Sarki that the shoes enable you to do everything. Theoretically, you could walk around without shoes. I thought humbly that maybe you could suggest a somewhat different shot. That some things, without them, really severely, severely hampers the functionality. So let's say if someone who can't see, okay? So they can manage in the world with a stick, etc., help from others, but there's certain activities they could never really do because they need to be able to see. So the gift of sight is not, if you will, like extra. It's very basic, even though we can't take it for granted. It's a very basic tool. Someone who's so bent over, they can hardly walk, or they're up straight, but they're upright, but they can't walk. So their mamish can't function. They're dependent on others. But if someone doesn't have shoes, so they could function, but they get the ouchies. It's not easy to walk around without shoes. So I thought that maybe another pshat that we're using shoes as a vehicle to say Hashem didn't just give us bread; He gave us ice cream. That He didn't just give us the basics. He also gave us a world in which we're able to function not only barely, but maximally. So we use the shoes, not specifically about the shoes, but as a forum to thank Hashem for thanks for the extras. Asali called Sarki, all of my needs, even the things perhaps with a stretch I could have gotten away without. Then we have a Mechem Etzadei Gover, So the same Eitz Yosef says, "Brachas on niskan l'tishevach Hashem Yisbarach Shabbat b'adam evarim v'chulyo shebraglayim, the limbs and the various joints in the feet shemihem bo hiluch." Amechem etzadei gover. Again, if you study biology anatomy, you'll see the foot is made up of many many bones that allow it to walk properly. V'cheinu omer me Hashem etzadei gover konono paskin tilim. That it's because of man, because of God, I should say, that man could walk. Okay. We're going to come back to that a little later, if we can. So, the one final point, actually, we'll save that. We will mention it now. On Ma Rishena Me'enai Usnuma Me'afa Pai. So, we have an interesting comment on the Iyun Tefila, turning one more page. So, this will be already. Page 5, it's labeled page 126. Actually, my apologies, it's page 6, so it's labeled page Samach Dalet. So, most Rishonim maintain that the Bracha of Amav Rishena Me'enai Usnumami Afapai, which appears on page 5, literally, one who removes sleep from my eyes and slumber from my eyelids, which is the exact opposite, if you will, of the Bracha of Amapil, Chevle Shena Aleinai Usnuma Alafapai, which we say when we go to sleep. That bracha of Amar Vishena is meant to be said in conjunction with the next paragraph of Vehira Tzonu Lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu Kevaseinu. And then the bracha begins, Bracha Hashem, etc. Elokeinu Mechol Amar Vishena Meinais Mechapai. And it ends all the way at Bracha Hashem Gomel Chasdim Tevil Ma'Yisrael. And the main proof is because the bracha of Vehira Tzonu doesn't begin Bracha Hashem. So it sounds like it's a continuation of the bracha of Amar Vishena Meinai. Not everyone agrees with that, but that is the majority opinion of the Rishonim. And indeed, based on that, we don't answer Amen when you hear someone saying Amar Rishena Me'enai Usnama Me'afapai, which is actually pointed out here on page 126 in The halacha little section right after the word me'afapai. What's the conceptual connection between Amar Shena Meinai and the Bracha of Hiratzon? So, because of time, not going literally through the translation of Hiratzon, but basically what we're doing is we're praying that Hashem should guide us in learning Torah, doing the mitzvos, in avoiding the Eitz Hara, in avoiding sin, in avoiding all kinds of trials and tribulations, and we should have good friends, and we should only listen to the Eitz Tov and not to the Eitz Hara, and we pray to Hashem that He should give us kindness all the time, and we praise Hashem as the one who bestows kindness upon us. Agomel Chasarim Tovim, La'amo Yisrael. So in a word, we're asking Hashem for success in that day. Spiritually, physically. So the Ian Tvila, again on page 6, page Samach Dalet, on the right hand side, a little bit toward the bottom, below the Eitz Yosef, says as follows, V'hiratzon shetargilenu, He siyuma shel bircha samavir sheina meinai. It's the end of the bracha. Okay, as we said before. So skipping down to six lines down, the first word in the line says beis vav yud vav, which is bevav. That's why he says it's supposed to have a vav because it's connected. And then he continues, v'cheina nochon. That's the proper way to say it, that it's one bracha. Ki be'emet, in truth, hasarat ha'tnuma b'fnei atzma, just removing sleep by itself, einena ruya l'bracha. It's not appropriate for blessing. Imlo yitzuraf eleo tanai nachutz, unless we combine to it an important condition. Kima yisron la'adam b'sur me'alav tenumato. What good is it if his slumber is removed from him? Imlo yargil acharecha in his nafsho b'torah v'mitzvos. Unless he engages in Torah mitzvos, which is exactly why they were put into the world. Ach yosur kol hayom acharecha v'libo. The whole day he'll stray after his eyes and his heart in sin. Skipping down just a few more lines. L'fichach samcho elev hiratzon shetargileinu b'sarasecho v'dabkeinu mitzvosecho. Very powerful insight. Why do we need to wake up? To just take care of physical needs? Or chalila worse, to sin? So the Gemara, as we spoke about before, the Siddur is not only an expression for pouring out a heart before God, it's also a sefer of Hashkafa. So this bracha, this combination bracha of Amar Rishen of Yiratzon reminds us that the whole purpose of our wake-up is to be able to serve Hashem. So to be sure, Hashem wants us to engage the world, but as the Hasidic tale says, a Hasidic maxim says, we eat in order to learn, in order to daven. We don't live. Well, let me say it differently. Some people think that we live in order to eat. We eat in order to enjoy, or in order to go to sleep. After we eat, and have more physical enjoyment. But the Jew realizes that he lives in order to be able to serve his Creator. But in order to live, he has to eat. So a person eats in order to live, and he lives in order to serve his Creator. Not just focusing on just the physical aspect of the world. Okay, so what I wanted to do now is I think we'll pause here. And Bezrat Hashem, next week we'll continue with additional insights into the Birchas HaShachar, and we'll start from the Birchot HaZehut, the Shiloh Asanis, and with that we're going to try to explain those brachos, spend a lot of time explaining why they're in the negative, as various commentaries have explained, and we're going to suggest that based on the Shiloh Asanis, that also who we are also, I think, gives additional insight as to why these are arranged together with all the other brachos, together with this final bracha that we just spent some time on in terms of Yiratzon Lefanecha, Shetar Galein Resarasecha. Let me just end with one quickie. It's turning to page 7. Page 8, which is labeled as Samachay. So the Mefarshim are troubled by the phrase at the very end, V'sigmaleinu chasadim tovim. Why is it good kindnesses? Isn't a kindness by definition good? So they give different interpretations. I just wanted to share with you some of them. On page Samachay, we have in the top Eitz Yosef, Zigmaleinu Chasadim Tovim, Pirish Chasadim Sheinam Mematim Zchuyot. What's a good kindness opposed to a bad kindness? A good kindness is a chesed that it doesn't detract from our merits or detract from our Olam Haba. So we ask Hashem to give us a good kindness that should be extra. It should be a good kindness, but shouldn't erase, if you will, something else. Another pshat that's given by the Dover Shalom in the middle there, Sigmalenu Chastu Intuvim, Gam Inyanim Haraim Einam Raim Echleitim, that even quote-unquote bad things that Hashem throws our way are not fundamentally bad. They're not absolutely bad. Rak Raim L'Tachlit HaTov. We realize they're all good. God does everything for the good. So even the bad is really good in disguise. Nimtza Shekol HaRaot Hinei Mitzad HaChesed. So even the bad is also kindness. So this is a muscle. A kid's getting sick from eating too much candy. So the parents deprive the child of certain candy, and they're crying and screaming and think the parents are mean. That's really chesed. Same thing, we shouldn't need it. The same thing for an operation. It could be painful, but that's a chesed. So continuing, the last line of the Dover Shalom at the end, Rak einam chesedim tovim. But when Hashem gives us bad, it's also a kindness, but it's not a good kindness. It's quote-unquote a bad kindness in the sense that it's perceived to be bad. We ask Hashem to please see to it if he can. Now, of course he could, but we ask that within where we stand in terms of our merits and so on and so forth, that Hashem should be kind to us, that he shouldn't see the need to give us like a painful medicine, which is also a chesed, but that would be quote-unquote a chesed ra, because at first glance it's bad, even though it's ultimately for the good. We ask Hashem to give us chesedim tovim, where it's both good, not only in terms of how we perceive it, but also good. Let me just rephrase that it should be not just a chesed, if you will, a kindness. Ultimately, everything Hashem gives us is a kindness, but it should be tov in the sense that we should be able to taste its goodness even now. I had heard many times a somewhat different idea between a chesed tov and a chesed ra, getting back to the muscle of the parents and the candy. That if the parents would be giving a kid a candy again and again and again and again, after all their teeth are falling out, so on the surface it would be considered a chesed, but in reality it's not a chesed at all. Right? Kind of the complement of this Dover Shalom. They would be being cruel. So we ask Hashem to give us a chesed tov. Let's say a person, they feel that they don't have enough income. And Hashem knows better that if they had more income, it would lead to something bad for this person. People will be jealous of them. They would always be hounding them. Or that they're going to go off the derech because of wealth. And they'll stop remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only Hashem knows best. So we ask Hashem to give us a chesed tov. That not only should we perceive it to be good, but it should actually be good. Right? Somewhat in the opposite direction of the Dover Shalom. That Hashem should give us kindness. But it should be kindness. Meaning real kindness. That actually helps us out, and not things that we think are good for us, but ultimately are not good for us. Okay, thank you. To wish everyone a Chag Matan Torah Sameach. You should be able to always be connected to Torah Hashem, the performance of mitzvos, the love and fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And may this Yom Tov of Shavuos allow for renewal, as chachus, of our connection to the greatest gift that Hashem has given to all of mankind through his agents, the holy Jewish people, the men and the women, we'll get to later in terms of the Birchat HaZehut, the holy Jewish women and the holy Jewish men who were zochet to receive this great gift of Torah Hashem, and a pleasant Shabbos to all. Thank you.